The Wicked Smart Sports Guide is brought to you by SunMaxBatteries.com. As always, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMax Batteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SunMax Batteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMax Batteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming tools, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SunMax Batteries has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of all ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use code BOSTON, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, and save 20% off your entire order. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, to check out and save big today. SunMaxBatteries.com, CELMAXBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys podcast. Thanks, as always, to Dolly Dreams for the intro music. This week, we're talking with our resident NFL draft expert at Guy Boston Sports. That's right, it's NFL draft season once again, and I know he's excited for it. Andrew Nason, back on. And Andrew, welcome back to the show. It's nice to have you back.
Glad to be back, man. Thanks for having me.
I know you love the draft season. I know you love the drafts of college football. I know you. I know you just love it, and I know sometimes, you know, it's frustrating for me being a Michigan guy, but Ohio State, I know you get, there's much more for you to enjoy about it than I. So we'll get into the draft stuff. We'll start with the quarterbacks, because I think there's a lot of interesting angles to take with the quarterbacks. So we'll go, one through six down your, to your, end your top six. All right, I think that's a good place to start. Because not only is it the quarterbacks are always fun to talk about as it relates to the draft, right? They're the flashiest guys, and they, you know, some of them may get overdrafted because of how important the position is. But also, it does relate to the Patriots a little bit because they might have a shot at a few of these guys here that we're going to talk about. So let's start with the man of the hour, Trevor Lawrence. Okay, because Trevor Lawrence, there's been so much hype. At long last, he's coming out of college. You know, after 3 years where it just, I mean, you heard the stuff after his freshman year that people started saying, you know, he could be the number one overall pick now if he came out as a true freshman. And I'm just wondering, after all this, because, you know, we heard he's going to be one of the three greatest prospects ever, you know, John Elway and Peyton Manning, and now it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. And there was all this stuff. I mean, people, I think somebody said he's going to put together a run at Clemson unlike anything we've ever seen. Never wins another national championship. Does improve consistently over his college season from his sophomore to his junior season. I will say his numbers improved. But ultimately, do you feel like he lived up to the hype? Do you feel like he's earned that status as one of the great prospects of all time?
I think so. I mean, to say he lived up to the hype, I mean, no, you're right. He didn't win another national championship, but, you know, he only lost in the playoffs in college. You know, he did, you know, he lost to arguably one of the best teams ever in LSU last year. This past season, he ran into a tough Ohio State team. You know, the fact is he put up the numbers for 3 years to make him a great prospect. He was a two-time Heisman finalist. And honestly, if he had started every game of his freshman season, he probably would have been it then. You know, just to put him up there, I easily still put him up there with Manning, Elway, Andrew Luck. You know, I think the knock on him that kind of keeps him with those guys or maybe just behind them is, you know, he struggled winning some big games, you know, down the line. Obviously, he had the freshman season run, which was unbelievable. And I was one of those people who said, this guy's going to be, you know, the number one pick in 2 years. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. And I think he still has that potential, absolutely. You know, he's got all the tools you need, the size, the athleticism, the arm. There's zero character flaws. You know, he's just a good kid who knows how to handle it. But the fact is, you know, he did lose some big games. He didn't play well against LSU. He didn't play well against Ohio State this past year. And, he showed off some flaws. You know, we've seen it his sophomore season. He threw a couple extra picks. You know, early in the year, he figured it out. Sometimes, you know, if he's on the run, he'll tend to sail the ball. You know, sometimes he has fumbling issues. But overall, I mean, Lawrence, the hype, we set it to a level that's impossible to live up to, but he came about as close as anybody could. And, you know, I have, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen as a prospect. Obviously, I wasn't around when, or watching much when Manning was coming up, Elway, Andrew Luck. I mean, I knew he was good, but I didn't think he was at that level. He's by far one of the best prospects of all time, and I don't think he's done anything to, you know, really damage that reputation in a way.
So you're saying, in your experience, he's the best prospect you've ever seen?
Yep.
As a at quarterback position, at least.
Absolutely. I'd have to go back and look in terms of overall players, but he's dominated the game, and, you know, you just kind of – he looks like he could play in the NFL since his freshman season. You know, he looks like he knows how to handle the pressure, and I think that's, you know, the really big part of it. And again, just the tools that he has, the accuracy, the arm strength, the ability to move and read a defense. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's the Lord and Savior that some people have said. And, you know, is he going to single-handedly fix the Jaguars or Jaguars organization? No. You know, that's going to take team building, and he's going to, you know, need players around him in order to do that. But, you know, I think he, you know, if you're starting a franchise and you're taking one of these guys, he's going to give you the best shot by far to do it. And if I'm betting money, which I don't bet a lot, you know, I would put it on Lawrence to be, you know, at minimum, a very good starting quarterback in the NFL.
And I was looking this up the other day, and his completion percentage, yards per attempt, yards per game, and passer rating all went up from his freshman to his sophomore season. And then they all went up again from his sophomore to his junior season. So he did show significant improvement. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. It just feels like because he got in those big games and he couldn't come through again, it felt like there was a little bit of disappointment there, even though he was getting better.
Exactly. And he's also, you know, you don't really judge him for the games that he was playing before then, because he was expected to win all of those. Going through the ACC, it's not exactly a challenge. I mean, he still lit it up. He took care of business, but, you know, people don't care as much about that, more that they care about how he does in these playoff games. And, you know, like I said, he won a national championship. That was him. You know, he played out of his mind. And last year he ran into a buzzsaw. No one was beating that LSU team. You know, it was just, that was too much to ask a person. And, you know, Ohio State just played out of their minds this year. And, you know, it's a tough bid, but no, Lawrence, I mean, like I said, he's lived up to the expectations in my book.
And what do you think about his fit with the Jaguars? And there's a couple angles to take with that. I mean, you know, you have Urban Meyer, of course, who I know you probably love, the old Ohio State coach, who people have some legitimate questions about him in the NFL. There's some people that didn't like the hire. Personally, you know, I want to see. I mean, he was a good coach at the college level, so I want to see what he can do in the NFL. So the fit with Urban Meyer, and also the fit with the Jaguars, just where they're at as a team, and I'm not going to lie to you, I mean, I kind of like it. Their offensive line isn't terrible. You know, they have some good guys on that line. And just outside of that, I know a lot of these guys, a lot of their receiving options are free agents, but you have that rookie running back and James Robinson. You know, they have plenty of cap space to surround him with weapons. I don't totally hate it. And the Jaguars, as an organization, aren't the best, but it seems like the structure is there to really build something.
No, I agree. And I think if you bring back DJ Chark, bring him back, Laviska Shenault kind of proved last year that he's got potential as kind of a Swiss Army knife on offense. Obviously, you mentioned Robinson. The offensive line, I mean, they need help. It's not, you know, it can, you know, you can put it behind it right now, but you need to address the tackle situations. Cam Robinson's probably leaving in free agency, and you know, it's not exactly a loss. So they also have four or five top 44 picks. So they've got plenty of capital to get some guys in there. You get him some weapons, maybe a tight end. Maybe you go for a guy like, you know, Massachusetts boy, Pat Freiermuth in the second round. If you give him weapons, I think there's going to be, you know, he's going to be successful. I mean, he's going to struggle as a rookie. You know, I think it's ridiculous to think he won't have those moments. You know, I can see him throwing a lot of picks. Everybody does. You know, it happens. You have to get adjusted to the NFL. You know, in terms of the fit with Meyer, I think he's coming in to build a program here, and he's done that. He's won at every place he's been in college. He's not known as a quarterback guru, which is why I think people have some concerns. You know, is he going to ruin Trevor Lawrence? You know, none of his quarterbacks have done well in the NFL. Well, I think that's not the main point of the Urban Meyer hire. I think it's, you know, he's an older coach. Obviously, he's had some health concerns. I don't know if he's going to be there for 10 years. But if you can bring him in and instill a good culture, get this quarterback in there, and just build a team, you know, build a program. It's kind of like what Matt Rhule is doing in Carolina. Obviously, he's there for the long term. But, you know, his thing in college was he could build programs and take a losing team and turn it into a winner over the, over a couple of years. So I think that's what they're thinking is with Meyer, is that he can start with Lawrence, build this team, and, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the road, I don't think he's going to last that long, but he can hand it off to a guy who can just kind of keep it rolling with them. And, you know, I think they're putting themselves in good, you know, a good position to win. They have a, they have a lot of pieces on defense, you know, Josh Allen, Kalavon Chaisson on the edges. They have Miles Jack still. CJ Henderson was their top pick or top corner last year, and, you know, he's a rookie. So they've got some building blocks, and, you know, they just need, they have a lot of money, so they're going to be able to capitalize. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to be a playoff team as a, you know, in his rookie season for Lawrence, but, you know, I could see them winning, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 games and, you know, continuing to build. So I think it's a weird match in terms of coach and quarterback, but in terms of coach and program, you know, I think it'll be a good fit for him.
Yeah, and just that interior of the offensive line is really the strength there. You're right, they do need to work on the tackles, but with, you know, Norwell, Linder, and Khan, you know, Khan not being the greatest, but Linder and Norwell are good, really good solid pieces on the line. But of course, we all know the most important positions are the tackle, especially as it pertains to quarterback, so that's going to be important that they shore that up. But to your Urban Meyer point about, you know, people knocking what his quarterbacks have done in the NFL, couldn't you also argue that that almost works in his favor, that he got a lot out of the quarterbacks he had in college, whether it be, you know, Cardale Jones or Tim Tebow, like these guys, you know, and it's a different game in college, certainly, but he made them look like really good players at the college level. And yeah, they came to the NFL and they didn't work out, but is that his fault he wasn't coaching them anymore? So couldn't that speak to actually his ability to get the most out of his quarterback?
I agree. You can see it both ways. I mean, obviously those guys had talent and he did get the most out of them, and he won national championships with those guys. And, you know, Dwayne Haskins has looked like absolute garbage in the NFL, but he threw 50 touchdowns his one year at Ohio State that he started. So clearly Urban knows something about how to get something out of quarterbacks. You know, again, you're going to look, people are going to just go to the NFL track record, but, you know, he hasn't been in the NFL, so you don't know what his system in the NFL is going to look like. So this will basically define his legacy, I think, in terms of at least as a developer of talent and true NFL talent.
All right, and the last thing on Trevor Lawrence, is there any comp? Is there any player in the NFL or past player that you would really give him the comparison to? I mean, is it Mahomes? Is it Luck? Both of those guys are decently mobile. Lawrence has some mobility in his game too. Do you see any of those as a perfect comp, or is he just too different to compare to anybody?
I'll go with Luck on this one. Mahomes, I would love to, because that'd be awesome, and I want Lawrence to be that good. I'm a big fan of his, but Mahomes is more, you know, just running around and doing a lot of different nonsense behind the line and just throwing the ball wherever he can and seeing what can happen. I feel like that sounds bad, but it works. Now Lawrence is, you know, he's a strategic guy. He does have good mobility. It's not like Lamar Jackson level, but he can move. We saw it 2 years ago in that playoff game against Ohio State with those big runs he had. You know, I think Luck, he was that kind of, their numbers in college were almost identical. I was actually looking at this the other day. Lawrence, I think he played a tiny bit more, had a couple extra wins, maybe 1,000 more yards, but the rushing numbers were almost identical. So that's what I would go with, a taller Andrew Luck.
All right, let's move on now. Speaking of Urban Meyer, we're going to go to Ohio State. We're going to talk about Justin Fields, and I know this guy is near and dear to your heart, so I'm giving a warning to people. There might be a little bit of bias here. I'm going to just say that right off the top. But, you know, I know, I also trust your opinions on the draft, so I'm going to trust you on this. But Justin Fields, I mean, seemed like the consensus number 2 overall pick. I mean, set it in stone all season long. And then the season ends, you know, he doesn't totally, you know, he made it to the national championship game. He did pretty well for himself, but he's falling down draft boards here. And he's, you know, no longer is he the number 2 pick. Now you're seeing him number 4. Sometimes you see him number 7, as low as that. I mean, I think one point, I think Todd McShay at one point, or Mel Kiper, one of them, had him falling all the way to the Patriots in one of their mocks. I mean, why is there this, you know, backlash against Justin Fields? Why is he dropping down these boards now that the season's over?
The reasons are, I mean, he had a couple bad games this year. The Northwestern game, you know, just look, I watched that game live and it was infuriating. Thank God for Trey Sermon. But, you know, he comes out, throws under 50% of his passes, throws 2 picks, no touchdowns. You know, he struggled against Indiana. He threw three picks in that game. And then, no, the national championship, I'm not going to put that on him because Alabama was just by far a better team this year. There was nothing you could do. But people started looking at his game and questioning it a little bit more. You know, the knock on him is becoming he doesn't read the field well. If he doesn't see his first read open, he will throw a pick, or he's just going to run around and try to force, you know, make something happen when it's not there. And I've had that criticism of him too. I've seen him live, and if, you know, Chris Olave is not open on one play, he's just going to dance around and he's going to try to force the ball where it doesn't need to go. And, you know, it is something that I think is an issue. You know, a lot of times people are saying, you know, he can't get to that second, third read. You know, it's definitely a bad thing for him, but you also have to look at it from how Ohio State plays. And Ryan Day is a great coach. And the reason that Justin Fields doesn't have to look for his second, third options very often is 75% of the time his first option's open. So what are you going to do, not throw it to him? So I think people get on him for that. I mean, I look at this kid. I think he has all the traits that you need. He has arguably the strongest arm in this draft class. 6'3", he's weighing in the 220s. He, you know, I think he's going to run, might run in the 4.4s, honestly. I think his athleticism getting underappreciated. He is a running quarterback, but he's throw first, which I really appreciate. And I think that's what you need to be successful in the NFL, at least as a young quarterback nowadays. He's very accurate with the ball. He had a 70% completion percentage this year. You know, that's up 3% from last year when he dominated 2019. You know, only threw three picks to 41 touchdowns that year. You know, I think people, it's the reason people are down on him is recency bias. You know, just, you know, of the last five games he's played, three of them haven't really been that good. So I think people are forgetting about it. It's kind of like Justin Herbert last year. You know, he was, you know, supposed to be, you know, a number one prospect. You know, he was QB1 going into the year. Obviously, Joe Burrow earned the right to take that from him. But, you know, Herbert was seen as the guy with all the tools, did really well at Oregon. His senior year, he just didn't impress. And I think people forgot how good he was. And look what he did in the NFL. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year and looked absolutely fantastic. And I think Justin Fields has a similar game. He's just a little bit smaller than Herbert.
And another guy you can compare him to, Deshaun Watson, I think this happened too as well. I mean, you look at Deshaun Watson, when he was in his draft, I mean, he did everything you could possibly ask a quarterback to do in college. And then Mitchell Trubisky goes ahead of him. And obviously Patrick Mahomes was in that draft too, but he kind of came out of nowhere. Watson was much like Fields in the spotlight, and then I think people just overthought it.
Exactly. I think Watson, you know, there was an issue, like he threw a lot of picks his senior year, or his junior year, whichever year it was. And he did, but he also threw the ball like 500-600 times, I think, that year. You know, a ridiculous number for a quarterback. So, yeah, you're going to throw a bunch of picks if you're throwing it that many times. Like, people look at certain numbers and they don't put them into context. And, you know, with Justin Fields, again, he had a couple bad games. And, you know, you could argue the Northwestern game, he didn't have his top target. You know, there's a lot of things that go into this. And I think we focus on only the negative. So I think a lot of people are, you know, getting down on Justin Fields for, you know, 20 plus games that he played being, you know, not so great. And I think he's going to make a lot of people regret that. He's still my QB too.
I was just going to say that. Will and should he go to the Jets with the number 2 overall pick, or if the Jets traded whoever they traded to? But do you still think he will and should go number 2 overall?
Should, yes. Will, I can't say right now. I mean, things could change. We still have pro days to go. But as of right now, I mean, everything that I'm seeing and hearing, it's Zach Wilson is the QB2 right now. I know there was a report last week that some teams have him as QB1. I think that's absolutely ludicrous. In terms of my rankings, it's Trevor Lawrence at the top, a mile between him and Justin Fields at number 2. And then, you know, Fields, Wilson, you know, we'll get into the other guys. They're all pretty close together. But, you know, I think as of right now, I would take Fields at number 2, but I think it's going to be Wilson, especially if the Jets stay there.
Well, if you look through your top 7 or so, just from Justin Fields' standpoint, okay, for what's best for him, which team do you think offers the best situation for his career?
I'd say there's 2 possibilities. I like Atlanta because I think Arthur Smith, he was just working with Ryan Tannehill, another mobile quarterback. He'll get to sit behind Matt Ryan for a year, because if they draft him, they're keeping Matt Ryan. I don't think he's going to get traded this offseason, so he can learn from a future Hall of Famer, I think, and then take over that offense where he'll have weapons and, you know, an offensive line that they've invested a lot in over the last few years. So that could be a perfect situation for him. He's also from Georgia, so he's just going home. That's kind of a nice deal for him. Carolina would also be another one, kind of getting together with a young coach in Matt Rhule. Again, he doesn't have to start immediately because Teddy Bridgewater is still there, and he'll have weapons such as, you know, DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson. Maybe they bring back Curtis Samuel. They still need to invest in that offensive line, but, you know, I think for Justin Fields and for a lot of these guys other than Trevor Lawrence, you know, they all should go to situations where they don't have to play right away. I think we've seen it with Pat Mahomes. You know, if you can sit for a year, you know, maybe not even the full year, but as long as you can sit and then learn the NFL game without being rushed into it, you can be successful. Baker Mayfield sat for a little while behind Tyrod Taylor, and I know he had his struggles in his sophomore year, but he played pretty damn well as, you know, as a rookie. So I think it's just a lost thing. People try to force rookies into the lineup too soon. If Justin Fields can go to one of those two places where he's going to have weapons and a chance to sit, that'll be ideal for him.
All right, Zach Wilson. I know you're not as high on him as everybody else, and that doesn't mean you don't like him. I know you said it was close between him and Fields, but do you think he's getting a little bit overhyped here? I mean, the Mormon Mahomes stuff that we hear, that might be a little much, right?
I heard the Mormon Manziel, and I mean, I'm a Johnny Football fan, so I loved that. No, I do think Zach Wilson is still a really good prospect. I think with him, it's recency bias comes into play again. He played really well this year. He has a live arm, he's mobile, and he just kind of, he has those Mahomes moments where he can just put the ball where it needs to be and make these unbelievable throws. You know, for me, the reason I don't have him as high as Fields is, you know, Justin Fields was the Big Ten player of the year for two straight years, you know, again, in the Big Ten, one of the best conferences in college football. Zach Wilson kind of came out of nowhere, played 3 years at BYU, you know, playing in the Mountain West, not exactly playing a lot of, like, top-tier, you know, competition. He only really had a good year last year. I mean, he went from 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions to 33-3. So good for him for, A, upping his numbers and, you know, cutting down his turnovers, which is, you know, really good. He's not the biggest. I know he's listed at 6'3". From everything I've heard, he's probably closer to 6'1", you know, maybe a little under 200 pounds. So it's not like he's a big guy. And I know we've kind of gotten rid of that whole short quarterbacks can't be good in the NFL. It's still like, you know, it's a bonus to be big, I think, at this point. And, you know, he struggled against the one decent team that he played this year, which is Coastal Carolina, which, sorry, that's, you know, I know they were good. I don't want to disrespect them. They had a hell of a season, but, you know, it's not a Big Ten team. It's not a SEC team. You know, he beat up on some, you know, smaller competition. You know, we'll get into that with us next guy. But, you know, that's the reason I still think Wilson is the top, you know, I don't know if I have him top 10 player in my big board, but I think he's going to be, you know, a top 5 pick. I still expect him to go to the Jets at this point. And, you know, I like him a lot. I think he has, I think we've learned with Patrick Mahomes that maybe a guy who doesn't look like the NFL quarterback in college, but can make all the throws. I mean, he's got a great arm. You know, he can get the ball where it needs to go. You know, that can work. That can work in the NFL. I just have Fields higher because I'm betting on his traits more than Wilson's traits.
I know some Patriots fans might still be holding out hope, and I know we're talking about the number 2 overall pick here for your projected on some mock drafts. What do you think Wilson's floor is? Is it the Lions at 7? Is it the Panthers at 8? Or could you even not see him getting past 4?
I can't see it at this point, just because of the need for quarterbacks in this league right now. Obviously, let's see what happens, you know. There's the report that Deshaun Watson's basically approved trades to either Miami, the Jets, or Carolina. Those three are all top 8, so we'll see what happens there. I imagine somebody's trading up, you know, to Atlanta at number 4 might be looking to trade down potentially. I can't imagine Cincinnati. Miami at number 3, they have no reason to be picking up there. You know, they can easily get some more draft capital. or they could just take the best wide receiver. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of things that can happen. The Lions could trade down. I don't even think they're going to be taking a quarterback this year, to be honest with you. So there's a lot of things, but I don't think Zach Wilson is getting out of the top five, and, you know, we'll kind of go over it, but, you know, a lot, there could be five quarterbacks in the top 10. You know, it's, the demand is that high this year.
Yeah, and we're already talking about the number two pick with these last two guys, so we might as well bring it up. I mean, I'm curious, because Houston, as you said, the Watson stuff lurks there. Do you think that it would be worth it for the Jets to deal the number two pick for Watson and then to have Houston come in there and pick, you know, whoever they like at quarterback, whether it be Wilson or Fields?
I mean, again, for the Jets, I mean, if you can get Deshaun Watson, you get Deshaun Watson. I think it's for, you know, for Deshaun, I mean, the whole thing is he has a no-trade clause. And if he goes to New York, they're going to have to give up more than that number two pick. They're going to have to give up, you know, probably their other first-round pick, likely a second-round pick, probably another future first-rounder or two. They have two more next year. He's going to go to a situation where they're not going to be able to win. I mean, eventually, sure. I mean, and it gives them a much better chance when you have a top-five quarterback like him. But if I'm the Jets, absolutely. I make it happen if I can. I just don't know if it's going to make sense for Deshaun Watson in this case. You know, I know he likes New York. Apparently, that's the reason. I also, you know, have, you know, the owner, Woody Johnson. I just don't see how that's going to work when Deshaun Watson has issues with Cal McNair over in Houston. But that's a rant for another day. So, I mean, if I'm the Jets, I try it. But I don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to approve that.
All right. We'll talk about Trey Lance now, the mystery man. Did not play last season, and when he did play, you know, it wasn't exactly the most high-profile school in the country, let's just say that. So Trey Lance, like I said, a bit of a mystery here. What do people need to know about him as a prospect? How would you describe him?
He is similar to Lamar Jackson, not as fast. He does not turn the ball over. He's got a good arm. He's a, you know, thick-built kid, 6'4", going to be in the probably the high 220s. And this kid can ball. You know, obviously, we'll go in, you know, I'm not going to bring up the whole competition thing because we've seen Carson Wentz come from it. But Trey Lance balled out last year, or 2 years ago, I guess. It's still weird to say. I know people kind of got down on him. He only completed, you know, 15 of 30 passes in his one game this year, threw his first pick ever in college. Don't judge a guy off one game. This has been a weird offseason, and it's hard to get ready for that and come out and, you know, get into a rhythm. So I don't want to hold that game against him. But watch this guy's highlight videos. I heard about this kid probably at the end of draft season last year, and I watched, and these are just good highlights. This kid can spin the ball. I think he is, you know, the thing with him is he started 17 games in college. And I think normally I heard this the other day, the NFL threshold, you know, you want guys starting in college is like 25 games minimum or something close to that. So he is a little bit of a mystery. How is his game going to transition? But, you know, I think with his athleticism, you know, that's going to, A, give him a huge up, you know, kind of early in his career, kind of like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. You know, he'll continue to learn to throw. He's got the arm, but his athleticism will get him through all those mistakes he's probably going to make. Year two, start to throw a little bit better, you know, command the offense more, and hopefully by year three, he'll be, you know, what Josh Allen was this past season, a near MVP candidate. So I'm a big Trey Lance fan. I think his potential is off the roof. You know, it's the issue is just we haven't seen enough of a sample size, so it is a big risk to take him. I'm still, I think his floor is Carolina at 8 at this point. Maybe if I had to push that San Francisco at 12, I think Kyle Shanahan would really like to have him. But I think NFL fans, you know, for whatever team gets him, you have to be patient with this guy. This guy cannot come in day one and start. And I don't want to see him in an offense like the Patriots where we want a pocket passer. I don't want to see that happen because I don't think it'll be a good fit. If you can change the offense for him, that's wonderful. But you got to be patient with this kid. He is going to need time. This is going to be a Jordan Love situation. You know, all the potential in the world, a lot of talent, but not ready to play right now. Now, he's stuck behind Aaron Rodgers for probably a couple of years, depending on how Aaron Rodgers does. But Trey Lance is going to need time, but he could be really good. He's also like 20 years old, so he's got plenty of time to be good.
I mean, how much of a concern to you is the fact that he's been basically a year out of football? Like, you know, what is he going to look like when he comes back? Like, do you think teams are, because it doesn't sound like, you know, you're saying the floor would be Carolina at 8, maybe San Francisco. It doesn't sound like that's going to be a major concern. It's not going to impact his draft status that drastically.
I think he's that good, and I think also a lot of these guys, they know they've been training, and honestly, I mean, it's kind of it's less injuries. It's a little less wear and tear. You know, I think it might, if you're looking at a quarterback pecking order and, you know, maybe you compare him to Zach Wilson. Yeah, Zach Wilson played more recently. And, you know, they have some athleticism that's similar, you know, good arms. You know, I'll probably take Wilson in that case, and that's why I have him a little bit above Lance, but I have him pretty close. I think Lance will be fine. You know, I think a lot of these guys who opted out, the top-tier talent, you know, the Lances, the Micah Parsons, the Greg Rousseaus, those guys aren't going to really, you know, feel the effects of sitting out. It's the guys who are maybe those mid-rounders, you know, the – you know, D tackle from Pittsburgh, Jalen Twyman. I mean, he was looked at as a, you know, first, second round pick before, you know, the season started. And now I'm seeing him as low as like the third, fourth, fifth rounds. So, you know, the top tier talent's going to be fine. And I think Trey Lance will be fine in that case.
All right. Let's move on to maybe one of the more realistic options for the Patriots, Mac Jones. Now, a lot of controversy about Mac Jones. Just in terms of, you know, he had a great statistical year, and people want to, you know, take a little bit of that away from him because of the talent he had around him. And I know you're going to be a big proponent of that. I know you talked about just when we were talking about Justin Fields, how talented that Alabama team was. But, you know, Mac Jones still had that great season. Do you think Jones can be a legitimate NFL starting quarterback? What are your hopes for him? And does the mobility, the lack thereof, scare you at all? Because do you feel like that's a necessity now for NFL quarterbacks? I mean, I've seen people say since 2015, no successful quarterback has been drafted that's not mobile. I think the only one you could probably argue is Baker Mayfield. And even he's, you know, got a little bit of that to his game, not a ton. But, I mean, how do you feel about Jones specifically and the state of the quarterback position and whether that's now a necessity?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need some, because the fact is young quarterbacks are typically going to not so good teams, which typically don't have good offensive lines. So you have to be able to move around and, you know, make some plays with your legs and escape a little bit, you know, because you're not going to be able to read the field as quick as a rookie. You know, that's just a fact. But, you know, I think Mac Jones has what he lacks in athletic ability. He doesn't have the best arm either, but I mean, this kid's smart. He's a leader. I think he, you know, like, I, you know, aside for the lacking arm strength, he throws the ball and it gets where it needs to. And, you know, at some level in the NFL, that's all that matters, as long as you can make the throws. And I think he can. You know, he's got good size. I think, you know, he's clearly put on weight over the years in Alabama. It doesn't look like – I was listening to something earlier, and basically someone said it looks like he gained every bit of, you know, every pound in college in his torso and just nothing in his arms and legs, because his arms and legs look tiny. He's got that dad bod going on, so good for him. But I think he can be successful. I think he has to go to a team where there's an offensive line in place and all he has to do is game manage to start. You know, finding weapons, getting the ball to guys who can make plays, much like he did at Alabama. I've mocked him to the Patriots a few times, just because I know there's that Saban connection with Belichick, and I know they liked Tua last year, so I can see it happening because we have a need right now. I think he could be successful in the right systems. I think he's a little bit sneakier of an athlete than we think, but it's definitely why I have him a lot lower than the top four guys, because those guys, they could all move, you know, and they obviously have, you know, as I mentioned, stronger arms, you know, just the athletic talents there. But Mac Jones has something about him. You know, he's got that, he had that kind of Joe Burrow season, you know, coming out of nowhere. I mean, we knew who this kid was, but we didn't expect him to win the starting job. And, you know, he put up great numbers at Alabama. You know, he led him to a national championship. That says something about a player. So can he be successful? Yes. Would I bet on it? I mean, I don't know if he's going to hit or not, but he's still a first rounder. You know, I have him probably as a late first round grade, and, you know, I expect him, he's not getting past 15.
Okay, I mean, so if you were the Patriots, and let's say you strike out on quarterbacks in free agency or during the offseason trades, whatever it may have you, and let's say maybe they even just bring back Cam Newton on a one-year deal or something, you would target Mac Jones.
Please don't say that to
well,
me.
Well, I'm saying, you know.
I beg you, don't say that to
maybe
me.
Maybe it's to compete. Maybe it's to compete with a rookie bring it. So would you take Jones? And, I mean, you say you don't see him getting past 15, but he's, you know, later in the round. Would you even risk trading down later in the first round and trying to see if you get him there? And if you don't, you know, you don't. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, especially when there might be a quarterback you like there. But it, to me, just in terms of what the Patriots think of the quarterback position, how they value it, and how they evaluate the draft and certain players, I wouldn't put it past them to say, this is the grade we have on Mac Jones. We're not taking him past, you know, this overall pick, and we'd rather trade down, and if he slips through our fingers, we're okay with that. I would not be stunned if that was the case.
I wouldn't be either. And, I mean, if I was in the GM spot in this case, you know, it's with Mac Jones that would come into my thinking. If it's one of the other top four guys, if Trey Lance falls 15, I'm jumping on him right away. But at 15, if I'm the GM of the Pats right now, I'm strongly considering Mac, but I'm not sold on him, you know, yet. I think he fits what we have had in the past. I think there's some Brady-esque, and do not take that out of context. I think there's some Brady-like qualities that he has, and, you know, I think he fits what the Patriots have looked for, but, you know, the fact is he doesn't, you know, I feel like you do need that athleticism to be successful in today's NFL. You know, if I could trade back for him, absolutely. But I also think, you know, there's only so many good quarterbacks in the league, and if you think that Mac Jones has a chance to be successful, take the shot. I would rather the Patriots strike out taking quarterbacks than, you know, trading back, getting just, you know, whatever other players we can get and bringing in veterans like Andy Dalton and Cam Newton to just try to win with, because I think that's just not a successful NFL franchise in this case. Obviously, we've been successful for years, but I think we all need to realize that the Patriots are not in a place where they are going to just, you know, unless they pick up like Dak Prescott somehow, or unless they get a star quarterback, we're not going anywhere. We need to rebuild. We need to get younger. And if you think Mac Jones has a chance, yeah, take the shot at it. Why not? You have to go down swinging when it comes down to quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree with that philosophy wholeheartedly. And you're right. Mac Jones and Tom Brady have plenty of similarities. For instance, they both were number 10 in college. That's a big one, right? I mean, Mac Jones and Tom Brady, they both have the same amount of letters in their first and last name. There's tons of stuff there you can look at. And, you know, and honestly, I especially agree with the philosophy about the taking a guy in the first or second round and striking out there, because, I mean, you look at these guys who go in the third and fourth round, and a lot of people are enamored with this and enamored with finding the guy late in the draft. And they say, oh, Russell Wilson went there, and, you know, Dak Prescott and stuff like that. And it's like, because those are the names you know. Like, you view the first round as such a risk because we hear all these names of these quarterbacks that go there because they're higher profile when they fail, whether it be Dwayne Haskins or EJ Manuel or whoever. But you never hear about Connor Cook failing, or, you know, Kevin Hogan failing, or whoever these quarterbacks are that are taken in the third and fifth round, you know, Will Greer. The guys that never see the field. You know, the first round pick's going to get the chance, but if you aren't good and you were taken in the third or fourth round, no one's ever going to really know your name. You know, almost nobody, not the casual fans at least, or even, you know, that step above a casual fan. A lot of people never hear about these guys. And I think people, you know, see those guys that pop and think it's so easy. It's really not. I mean, I did the math, at least since, you know, past the Russell Wilson year, it's really like a, between the quarterbacks that go past the third round or beyond, it's like a 2.5 to 3% chance at absolute best to land a guy that you can really consider a quality starting quarterback in that range. So to me, you have to draft one in the first or second round if you're really legitimately trying to nail a starter.
I agree 100%. Also, great throwback quarterbacks right there.
Yeah.
I haven't heard those names in a while. But I agree. You have to take your shots early.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're looking at. All right, let's end the quarterback discussion real quick with Kyle Trask. We don't need to talk about him too much, but a guy that, you know, was getting some first-round buzz at one point in the season, you know, looked really good. Obviously, you know, has Kyle Pitts there, and, you know, that's going to help a little bit. But Trask was a guy that, you know, kind of fluctuated throughout the season and ended the season on a really bad note, you know, a few bad games, and, you know, dropped down. Now he's considered, you know, around a second-round prospect, maybe a little later. What do you think about Trask? Do you think he's a guy that has legitimate starting potential in the NFL, or would you maybe stay away from him if you were a team looking for a quarterback?
If I'm a team looking for a quarterback and he's there in the late second round, I'm taking a shot at him because I think he did show a lot in college this year. The issues are, you know, from watching Trask live, you know, he's accurate. He gets the ball where it needs to go. Obviously, having Kyle Pitts is great. Having Kadarius Toney, you know, is a great thing, and it made his job a lot easier. But the kid's accurate. You know, he gets the ball where it needs to go. It's not the strongest arm. You know, he's kind of similar to Mac Jones, not the greatest athlete. So I think that's where he gets knocked down a little bit. I don't, you know, people are going to give him crap for the Oklahoma game. You know, he came out, 3 picks, no touchdowns. He had nobody that he had been playing with all year on that offense. That was the JV squad of Florida football. Now, he didn't play good. I mean, I don't want to, you know, sugarcoat it, but I'm going to give the guy a break for that one. I just think at the end of the day, you know, he is a guy who I can see him, you know, maybe he finds the right situation, a team with weapons and a good offensive line. You know, he can start games. I'm sure he can win some. The ceiling isn't very high for him. So, you know, he's a similar profile to Mac Jones for me. He's actually a little bigger than Mac Jones, which I didn't even realize. He's 2 inches taller, you know, probably got at least another like 25 pounds on him. But yeah, the production wasn't there in terms of comparing to Mac. And I think his ceiling's just not very high. Low floor. I feel like he's going to be a serviceable backup at, you know, the worst, for, you know, good 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, and maybe a guy, honestly, and I know they have their own quarterback situations in the backup right now, a lot of young guys in there, maybe they wouldn't want to bring another guy like this, but I think if he went to Pittsburgh and learned behind Ben Roethlisberger, like, that's a good guy for Kyle Trask to learn from.
To be fair, no one's going to call Ben Roethlisberger a good guy, but no, I mean, he was getting mocked.
Well, yeah.
No, he was getting mocked to Pittsburgh in the first round, you know, early in this year when he was playing really well. So, yeah, I think that's a very good fit. You know, I think I had him in my last mock going to the Washington football team in the second round. And, you know, for them, you know, assuming all 5 of the quarterbacks are off the board in the first round, take the best player available and then, you know, take a shot on Trask in the second. It's going to give you probably a better shot to win than Alex Smith at this point. Love Alex Smith. God bless him. But, you know, he's not exactly the best quarterback anymore. Taylor Heineke, nope. Sorry, he's not a Hall of Famer. I know everyone believes it. He had one good game.
And I think, I mean, obviously, you're not really going to pick up many tips from Ben Roethlisberger. You know, maybe how he takes care of himself isn't the best. You know, maybe definitely his life tips you want to stay away from. But in terms of being successful as that type of player with that kind of build, you know, I think Roethlisberger can help Trask along in a little bit of that regard.
But, oh, no, it'll be interesting just because I know when they took Mason Rudolph a couple of years ago, you know, Roethlisberger didn't want him. He didn't want to, you know, he didn't think he was useful for them to take a quarterback at that point. So it actually, you know, with this probably being his last year, and I think he knows it, I'm wondering what he, you know, could be like as a mentor. You know, is he going to help Dwayne Haskins there right now? Is he going to help Mason Rudolph? Or is he going to go out, well, like a dick? Which I kind of expect, to be honest with you.
All right, couple more things before we wrap up here. And I wanted to bring this up about when we were talking about Lawrence and Jacksonville, so I'll bring it up now. Now, this is my, just for pure fun, just from an entertainment standpoint, what I would like to see happen. And you mentioned the tight end thing, and this is why I was going to bring it up. Jacksonville has that other first round pick, and it's very late, but is it worth it? And I don't think, I really, when I do the math, I don't think it would be, but is it worth it for them to jump in to Kyle Pitts' range and pair him with Trevor Lawrence? Because like I said, just from a pure entertainment standpoint, I think that's a lot of fun to think about. There are some veterans out there that might make more sense if you want to get a good tight end. You know, Ertz is rumored to be available. Maybe you sign Hunter Henry. But I think a Pitts-Lawrence pairing in Jacksonville would be a lot of fun.
I agree. I mean, I think that'd be entertaining to watch. Kyle Pitts, I want to see how he runs at his pro day, but if he runs in the 4.5s, I mean, it's over. That kid might be the best pass catching prospect in this draft class. I wasn't as high on him to start. I kind of started to warm up to him a little later through the draft process, just seeing what he can do. But I don't think that would be the best move for Jacksonville, honestly, just because you're going to have to move up back into the top 10 from number 25 in order to get him, and or at least to make sure you get him. And this team just has so many holes in its roster. I know you've got plenty of money. You've got, you know, five, like I said, four or five top 45 picks. You got to fill a lot of holes. And I don't think getting a tight end / wide receiver, you know, a cast pitching entity, as I think Mel Kiper Jr. called him. I don't think it's worth it at that point. But I will agree with you. That would be a very fun matchup to watch grow.
All right. Last thing here. Just any guys in the first round that you particularly like more than some other people do, maybe guys you don't like, or anybody that you would like to see fall to the Patriots, you know, non-quarterback options. You just overall, some of the things that stand out to you want to get out about the first round of the draft.
Offense is going to be fun to watch. There's a lot of edge rushers, I think, that are going to go a little earlier than I expected. If I could have a guy fall to the Patriots in this situation at 15, I really hope it's Jalen Waddle. I think our offense has lacked a true playmaker for the last couple of years. And, you know, I know right now the trio of, you know, Waddle, Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, however you want, whatever order you want to put them in. You know, I know they're all projected top 10 picks. You know what? Last year we thought CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs were all going to go a lot higher than they did. Ruggs went at 12. Jeudy went at 15. Lamb went at 17. So these guys can fall. Wide receivers, you know, it's still another deep class. These guys could easily fall down the board. You know, offensive linemen could get pushed up. There's going to be probably five quarterbacks in the top 15. So honestly, probably top 12 at this rate. So those guys are going to get moved down. You know, Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater, those guys are going to get drafted. So I think it's realistic. It's not, I'm not betting on it, but, you know, a guy like Jalen Waddle, who's coming off an ankle injury, could fall through the cracks and fall to 15. And I think if the Patriots see him there, you have to take him. You know, that would be the dream for me would be Justin Fields falls to 15. I want to clarify. And if McShay's mock draft comes true, well, you will see plenty of content from me. But if not him, then I would love to see Waddle fall. Just get it. He's a guy. Get the ball in his hands, no matter, you know, whether it's on a reverse, whether it's, you know, an end around, whether it's just down the field when he's burning guys. He is a guy who could break open this offense. He is the closest thing to Tyreek Hill that has come out of the draft in years. And I think that would be the first step in getting the Patriots back where they need to be. So that would be like my, you know, favorite pick. You know, I think there's a lot of guys here who, you know, there's a lot of playmakers this year. I think it's one of the better drafts we've had in a few years. The quarterbacks are unbelievable.
All right, guys. Nathan, thank you for joining us to talk about the NFL draft. Still early. I'm sure we'll have you on plenty more times before April. But thank you guys so much. Go follow Nathan on Twitter at NasGuyBoston. Stay up with all his draft coverage. Check out his latest mock. I know it's pinned up there on his Twitter. And Nathan, thank you for joining us once again.
Thanks, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys. You can follow me on Twitter at BikeAndJoel. Follow the pod on Twitter at WickedSmartPod. Check out everything over at Guy Boston Sports. And thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.